Welcome to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest and I.
Purpose of these episodes not at all for advice or medical suggestions. These are aimed to provide support to peer pharmacists in training in educational and intellectually stimulating ways. Again, these are not at all for medical advice or medical suggestions. Please see your local board and state-certified health professional. The views of this podcast represent those of my guests and I.
You are very important, especially to us here at the New Chemists podcasting group. You listening in is significant.
Vous êtes très important, surtout pour nous ici au New Chemist podcasting group. Votre écoute est significative.
Usted es muy importante, especialmente para nosotros aquí en The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Usted escuchando, es significativo.
Você é muito importante. Especialmente para nós do The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Você ouvindo, é significativo.
Είστε πολύ σημαντικοί, ειδικά για εμάς εδώ στο The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Το να ακούς είναι σημαντικό.
Sie sind sehr wichtig, besonders für uns hier bei The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Es ist wichtig, dass du zuhörst.
Je bent erg belangrijk, vooral voor ons hier bij The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Dat je meeluistert, is veelbetekenend.
You are very important. Especially to us here at The New Chemist Podcasting Group. You listening in is significant.
Okay, welcome to the New Student Pharmacist Podcast Experience. It is so good to have you listening in today. My guest today is a really good friend of mine, Daniel Boy. We met at Taylor University, and this has been a really good friendship that I've had with him. So Daniel Boy, just a quick overview. We'll talk more about his career as we interview, but he graduated from dental school last May, bought a dental practice that his uncle started 46 years ago. and he'll be celebrating his 5-year wedding anniversary. This dude is, in my opinion, brilliant and highly intelligent. We met Taylor. We both were in the chemistry department, so that's kind of how we interfaced a good bit. So, Daniel, how are you?
Doing well. Well, I'm really juiced up, excited from that. You make me sound really, really cool, so I appreciate that.
It's a lot of fun
to be called one of your good friends because I'm very blessed by a lot of the experiences we were able to share, just a lot of fond memories in undergrad, and just being able to continue to catch up. So I'm thankful that we can add this to one of the things we get to do as friends together. So thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to have you. So how has your journey from Taylor University to Ohio State University shaped your strategy? So let's draw it back a bit. So you went to Taylor. Why did you choose chemistry as a major?
That's kind of an interesting story because I did not start in chemistry. I started as an exercise science major. And part of the reason for that was my sister went to Taylor before me, so I was the second one in my family. And I actually have twin sisters that are graduating Taylor this week. So I'm not the first and I'm not the last of my family members that made it through Taylor University. So it's kind of a little bit of a family thing, a little bit of background. I have seven siblings, or there's seven of us in my family. And so I started in exercise science because my sister was there. I knew the professors already, so I felt like I had a background with them. But I wanted to become a dentist. So I was taking all the biology and chemistry classes, and through that was able to get to know the chemistry professors and the major itself a little bit better. And it just really clicked for me. I was really excited about those classes, loved what I was learning, and I wanted to dive into that more deeply. And so that's how I became a chemistry major at Taylor.
Okay, so would you say you enjoyed your time in that program?
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
It was phenomenal, eh?
Yeah, we had a small group of people. Not a lot of people do chemistry, at least that year. And so it was really, really fun to make a lot of connections. That's something I've really been working on too. Obviously, we've mentioned that you and I have stayed caught up over the past 5 years now. But I've been trying to reach out. I just reached out to Allie Berkey, if you remember her.
From physical chemistry.
Yeah, she's down at Georgia and she's teaching general chemistry right now. So I was able to just catch up with her recently.
Okay.
And she's since been married as well. So a lot of fun catching up with her a little bit. And it's actually just this past week, ironically. So I've been trying to reach out to some of those people as I reflect on finishing dental school, finishing my first year in the profession of dentistry, and so I just love being able to connect with people.
Yeah, dude, that's good. So yeah, you mentioned something that's important, reflection. I think sometimes people are very driven. We achieve a lot of things, but we're not always quick to reflect on what we're doing. You know, some people do that to make sure they don't get too high off their own achievements, but it's good to reflect. I completely agree with you. So how did you go about strategizing to get into dental school? You know, that's a feat that not everyone accomplishes. You know, that's quite obvious. So how did you go about getting into dental school? What advice or tips, or just outline your path getting into dental school before we get into the advice?
Yeah, so my path was basically realizing at an early stage that it was something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. My parents encouraged me in high school to think, hey, Daniel, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? And more importantly, where do you want to live? And so I had to think about that a little bit. And I've always been very loyal to my hometown. I've felt like it's the place that raised me. And I've been so blessed by so many people that have poured into my life from a very young age, whether it be in our church or in the community that my father has built, as he has been a business professional in my hometown my entire life. He's an accountant. And so just had a lot of connections that way. And so I started off by checking out with him, and I didn't really like accounting. And then my uncle is a dentist. So I went to him and I was like, I think this is something I can do and something that I can be for my community. Knowing my uncle was going to retire soon, I was like, there's going to be an opportunity for me if I can stay the course and get that done. And so the main thing that I did was I tried to conquer and achieve all of my classes at a high level, because I just didn't want to narrow my opportunity. I knew that the filter, so to speak, starts to and funnel starts to really get small by the time you get to dental school. And so in order to make it to that level, you have to achieve academically at a high level. And so from that point on, I was like really focused on making sure that I achieved high marks in all of my classes to make sure that I would have a good situation in my academic background to be able to prepare myself to be competitive for dental school applications. So that was one of the main thing, I think. And then it was also being active in a lot of other ways. I was very active in sports, which actually probably made me much better in academics because it was a great outlet for me physically. I'm a very active person, and so it helped me stay on the straight and narrow to achieve academically, I think, as well.
Yeah, I remember you played football at Taylor. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it helped me with time management because I didn't really have time to waste. So my schedule was very regimented while I was at Taylor. And I was able to just stay focused through that and have a good resume once the time came.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. You're the second student athlete from Taylor I've had on. Vincent, remember Vincent? Vincent Miranda? Yeah. I had him on probably 3 years ago. Yeah.
Nice.
It's interesting that you made that statement that you didn't have time to waste. Yeah, it's so important to be able to manage your time well, especially in undergrad. So reflecting on your experience, how did your preparation for the DAT contribute to your overall career strategy? So how did preparing for the DAT help you transition and do well in dental school? One, and then two, how did the strategies that you employed, whether it be changing your learning style, whether it be adapting to new content, whether it be changing how you engage with the content, whatever the case may be, how did your change in strategy as you prepared for that test help you in dental school, and how is it helping you now?
Yeah, I think the nice thing about preparing for the DAT for me was that it was kind of a synopsis of all of the courses that I had already taken. So there's a general oral chemistry portion, there's an organic chemistry portion, there's biology portions, there's some dental specific portions that are harder to prepare for. And so those were the things that I kind of had to do a little extra to get ready for. But one of the big things going back to being dedicated to your academics is the ability to get high marks in those classes really gave me a fabulous foundation to build upon when I prepare for the DAT. So there's one thing on the, there's the other section. So there's a science section, there's a math section, there's a reading section, and there is a, what they call perceptual ability section, which is kind of, to simplify it, is puzzles that are supposed to help you see something in a two-dimensional picture, and you have to come up with a three-dimensional picture in your mind is the basic overview of how that section works. So that was kind of the hardest thing to learn. But I used a program that had a bunch of practice tests on it. So I was constantly taking those types of tests over and over. I think I had like 50 of each section or some absurd number, and I would just go through as many of those as possible. And so I was really just getting the repetitions of taking that test and practicing. Mainly the mental stamina was the big thing. The mental stamina for that test, because it's a really long test. And so the ability to have a relaxed mental state, yet a focused mental state, was the real key that I had to work on, because I had never really taken something like that outside of your, ACT or SAT. So it was definitely a practice of getting my mind in shape to be ready for a long test.
I think I remember when you went to take the exam. But it's what you said is very important, being able to be in a relaxed state as you assess. So my question to you is, in the competitive dental market, what strategic opportunities do you see for aspiring students to transition into, or yourself? What, you don't have to outline all of your business strategy, because you have to have something unique about your value proposition. So what do you see as a niche market, or what do you see as, like, I'm not too knowledgeable about dentistry on this, full disclosure. So my statement to you is, what do you see? Why is dentistry hot right now? Is it some? I know pharmacy is in demand. So
yes.
So, but what about dentistry? Yes. Is dentistry hot right now?
Yes, I think everything. It's interesting because there's kind of this dichotomy right now where, you know, professionals are in high demand, but blue collar workers are in high demand. And I think that the reason for that is, and I don't know the numbers really well, but I'm just
fine, that's fine.
Speaking things that I've heard, but the baby boomer generation has really carried our country as far as the professionals in, from, like I said, from professional white collar all the way to blue collar, and the whole spectrum has been carried by the baby boomers for a very long time, but all of them are graduating. So one thing that I have seen, for instance, is my uncle, when he was in dental school, it was an accelerated program. So he got it done in 3 years, and there were nearly twice as many dentists in his class as there were in my class.
Okay.
So you have this situation where we have, at least in Ohio, there's two dental schools. I think that both of them have been around, but I'm willing to say that we're graduating about half the dentists that are in that retirement phase. So for instance, in my town, in a lot of small towns, there's a lot of very successful dental practices that are looking for new dentists to come in and be willing to insert themselves into a small town and carry their practices on. Wow. So I also have a friend who is more in a smaller suburb area of Cleveland that has also been able to buy a dental practice that is very similar in its organization to the practice that I have. And it's been very good for him as well. So there's definitely if you're willing to look and you're willing to kind of expand outside of the city, which is something that I really think has been beneficial, because there's still plenty of people that want to have dentistry done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Not as many people want to live in those areas. And fortunately, the cost of living is a little bit lower most of the time. So you're able to kind of, you know, you may feel like, oh, if I work in the city, I'll make more money, but you either have to move away and pay to live far away, or you have to assume that cost of living in the city. So there's a lot of factors that play into that for me. I'm thankful that I really enjoy being in a small town. Other people don't necessarily enjoy that as much, but I think that's a big part of my philosophy, is recognizing that there are just as many people in need of good dentists in small towns as there are in cities, and sometimes you have less competition. So mm-hmm. That's a small window into it. There's a lot of things that I can get into, but I'm happy to, but let me know what I can divulge basically to help you understand where I'm coming from.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like what you said. You know, it's all about strategy, you know, what set of choices you need to make in a value chain so that you're able to win in the market you've chosen to compete in. Kind of, yes, pointing to Michael Porter's strategy, concept of strategy. So, yes. How do you stay balanced? How do you integrate your work in your life? Because you're married, you have a family, making moves, you got your practice, still you're almost like the golden child, if you will. So,
I made a joke. My sister always calls me the golden child, and I said to my dad, we were just working on like landscaping projects, and
so you'll have a big piece of lawn, yeah.
Yes, and my dad was talking to me, and we were just going to work on one of these projects, and I said, Dad, you know, everybody's been calling me this golden child, so I figure I might as well just touch everything I can and see what happens. And so...
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, so I definitely am trying to get my hands dirty and see if I can have a positive effect in a lot of different areas.
Oh, that's a nice way to take that, dude.
Yeah, yeah. I think that impact is very important to me. And dentistry is one small way that I can impact some people on having good oral health. And then also, I mean, my biggest thing is letting people have the ability to eat. I'm a big meat eater, and yeah. I love steak, and that's something that is very predicated on having solid teeth to do. And I think I personally believe there's a lot of health benefits to eating good meat. So you have to, and that's another thing about living out in a small town is you're near the country. So we actually have a really great family that we've been connected to for a long time that raise beef. And so we have definitely took advantage of being close to them. We have a quarter of a beef in our freezer, and my son loves it. And he is, I don't know, maybe he would be really high. He's pretty smart, I feel like. So far, he's shown a good ability to learn. I think it's because we give him a good diet. He eats a lot of a lot of steak, and then also he eats. We try to get fresh eggs as well. We have a lot of family friends that raise chickens, and we get to buy eggs from them, and it seems to have a good effect. So okay, that's good. That we're really thankful for. But as far as, like you said, keeping it balanced, I think it's just really about involving my family as much as possible. One thing that we do, and this is everyone's going to give us, you know, the dentist, how could he? My wife makes birthday treats for my staff. And so really involving her in the practice is something that is very big, because it's something that we have to do. And so as much as she can be involved in it, I think that allows the balance to kind of work itself out, because we just do things together. And she can't be there from, you know, that 4 days a week, or the time that I'm having meetings, or, you know, trying to work with our vendors or whatever it may be to make our practice best suited to serve our patients well. But as much as I can involve her in my decision making and how I'm thinking about things, that really helps. And then also, I just have a great setup because I only work 4 days a week already. So that gives me an extra day to spend time with family and kind of build things with that. So that's some of the ways that we balance, is really just bringing it together, making a plan. Like I said, we have to talk to people about getting our food, or the, you know, the steak or the eggs. And so we are really trying to involve ourselves in the community and make decisions together about how we're shaping our future. And that's really the big way that we would stay balanced, I say.
Wow, I like it a lot, dude. Several things you said. You know, and also you're the first dentist, DDS, that I've had on this podcast before. That's very, very, very significant. But well, yeah, you said
more, let me know. I got plenty of really cool people.
Sure. Bring them in. It's summertime.
Plenty of them, a lot of travelers. So I'm sure plenty of them, if I said, hey, you got to go down and see my friend in Bahamas when he's down there and see his family, I'm sure that there's be plenty of people that would travel down there with me to see you. So
yes, even though I'm currently in DC, but yeah, dude, that's good. So yeah, I made the comment that you were the golden child, and you said you want to impact everything that you or touch everything. That's an excellent way to take that, dude. Excellent, dude. And then also to make this more significant, you talk about work life integration or balance, and how you're staying balanced is by having lots of people involved. Yeah, we need people. I completely agree. Completely agree with that statement. Completely agree. Yep.
So, my personal opinion, this is one, I'll interject real quick before you go on.
Go ahead, dude. You just stop. Go ahead.
Yeah. My personal opinion is that people are the most valuable asset or investment that you have. Nothing that you want to accomplish is going to be done without having really, really good people around you. I have people at my dental practice that are so much better at aspects of the dental practice than I am and probably ever will be. As far as the hygiene or the front desk staff or the assistants, there's things that they do that allows me to really focus in on what I'm gifted at, and it frees me. I don't have to have the stresses of some of the things that you may have to have starting off. Mm-hmm. And so that is the thing, like I said, with this, the way that dentistry is going, a lot of the baby boomer generation in the United States being ready to retire, there are so many practices that I think are just ripe, that have been very solid servants of their communities, that are just hoping to have someone come and take over the situation. For instance, part of the reason that we've been having so much success is that one of the other main dentists in my town retired and wasn't able to find someone to take over his practice. And so I think that the numbers are nearly 500 or more have come to us from that situation happening.
That's a major blessing.
Yeah, so we're very busy. We're very busy, which is great. So there's opportunity for sure. But the big thing is you want to take the time to find that place where the situation has been set up, that there's a philosophy that people are the most important part of the business.
And that's so a good that one.
That is a big part of my philosophy about life in general. So
yeah, dude, you know, this is causing me to have inclinations towards the pharmacy, you know, because I know a really good pediatrician is already established. This has caused me to incline to that. But yeah, you talk about work-life integration. Can you mention like some of your mentors? How has mentorship played a role in your success? Did you have a lot of interface time with your uncle before you retired? How does mentorship look like? What does it look like for you?
Yeah, so that is definitely a key thing. I have a lot of good mentors from a lot of, your network is so important. And I'm trying to cultivate as many mentors as I can. Like I said, even if it's a side-by-side mentor, like I was talking about my buddy near Cleveland that is buying a very similar practice to me. We've been a lot of communication lately about his path, because it's been a little bit different. And so I've actually been learning from him some things on how to set up the practice that I just didn't necessarily know about. So that is definitely something that you got to look everywhere. Look everywhere and leave no stone unturned. If anyone's willing to help you, take the advice and try and run with it as much as you can. But as far as my uncle goes, the whole first year, I kind of had a little bit more of a shadowing and taking on a lot of those new patients that were coming over from the other retiring dentists, which was really, really nice. So I was able to practice my relationship building. And that is a part, like going back to that philosophy of people are the most important investment. I think that taking that time, I didn't do as much like hard dental procedures in the first 4 months. I did some, but it was more taking time to get to know people and practicing that. And I think that was definitely hard mentally, because you're like, I just learned all these skills and all I'm doing is saying hello, getting to know people, you know, telling them about my philosophy of life and of dentistry. And I really felt like it was a slow first 4 months in a lot of ways, but it actually set me up really, really well, because I think that it allowed me to start off with a place of trust for those people.
Wow.
So actually, even though I had the backdrop of a really busy practice, I was able to not be super busy and overwhelmed and miss the importance of those relationships starting off. And so that has, I think, helped reap a reward of people starting to trust my decision making this early on. I'm only 1 year in and I'm starting to feel like people are beginning to trust me. So that's been really, really good. And so that's something that my uncle did a really good job of, was kind of letting me be on my own a lot and always being there if I needed questions, but just allowing me to grow and learn as I go a little bit. So yes. And then another thing to add to that is he still comes in about once a week. And so we'll have chats about, you know, taking care of the other staff that work there and teaching me about things as far as, you know, his budget, how they operated that, you know, just the percentages of how you want things to be and thinking of how to, you know, organize that well. So that, again, coming back to, it's about serving those patients really well and freeing yourself up to do that. So there's a lot of chats that go that way. And then he's on my speed dial. That's a big thing. So I call him probably 3 times a week about different things, you know, hey, where's this thing? Like, we have a really nice flower garden outside. And so just asking him about, you know, where's some of the things that they used to make that nice, just anything. So the big thing is just talking to him as much as I can.
Yeah, dude. Mine's refreshing to have these types of conversations, dude. You're down to earthness. It's just so powerful, man. It's just so powerful, dude. It's good. This is good, you know? I like what you said, in that your mentor basically made sure you knew it was priority. The relationship that you're building and the trust that you're building with those people, with the people that you serve. That's very, very important. What's been some of the most beneficial advice you have received, and what advice would you give to people as we start to wrap up? What advice would you give to people who want to pursue dentistry? Or who, please, three things I'll say. What is the most beneficial advice you have received? What advice would you give to aspiring dentists, so people who are students? And what advice would you give to people who want to attend Taylor? Three things.
Ooh, three things. That's good stuff.
I'm gonna have
the time. Best advice for dentistry. Do not be afraid to get into practice ownership before you think you're ready.
Okay.
There's no replacement for doing it, just getting into it. It definitely has been made much easier since I had a practice that was operating very well on its own. So you do want to take your time to know that the practice operates well. And I'd love to, if you want to share any information, if there are any people that want to hear more about the philosophy and some things to look for that I think make a difference in having a successful dental practice, I'd love to, if you want to connect us, I'm happy to take emails or things like that and talk more about that kind of stuff. I don't want to necessarily give all the information to people that may not be dentists, because that may not be necessary. But and my son wants to come say hello. I'll let him pop on. Hey, Duke boy, I'm in a meeting.
Sure.
Is my son Duke. Say hi.
Hi, Duke.
He is going to be 2 in October. He's a fun little guy. Thanks for saying hi, buddy. Good to see you. Yeah. I'm finishing up, and I'm going to kind of eat breakfast. Okay. Can you say bye to everybody? Say bye.
Good to see you. Hopefully you see more of me later on.
Yeah, definitely. You'll see mama. Yeah. See you, buddy. See you. He's a talker too, which is a lot of fun. He's very good at communicating. So, but yes, back to that. I'm happy to talk about the way that we organize things and why the practice that we have has been so successful. My uncle has obviously been building it for a long time. So he's been through he's organized it a lot of different ways over the years, but he's really landed on a way that has made it kind of what I talked about. I don't have to be rushed. That's part of the way that we organize things as far as how the practice is compensated, is basically what I'll say about that. The best advice was getting into practice ownership and starting to learn it, because until you start stepping out and having those networking conversations like I've been talking about, as far as talking to accountants, bankers, if you need to HR, all those types of things, as soon as you can get into the practice of reaching out to those people. And also, we refer a lot of our stuff to specialists. So I have an oral surgeon that I met early on. I'm in a study club with that oral surgery practice, so I get to go there.
Man, continuous learning, man. This is good.
It's key. And so I was able to make that connection with someone who's been doing it a long time, is very talented in dentistry in a different way than myself. And I get to text him, and he's been very open to communicating with me like that day. So that's one of those things that you're not going to know who's willing to help you until, like I said, start turning over those rocks and asking people for help, because that is where the most learning happens, is with those people that are in the trenches and have been doing dentistry for a long time. And so, like I said, I'm always expanding that mentor group that I have as much as possible. And that is what I have learned. And the best advice that I would say, get into dental practice ownership, get into groups of other people that are professionals that are willing to learn like yourself, and just run with it. So,
yeah, dude, it's so important to have a good network, And it's so important to reach out to professionals to learn as much as possible. Continuous learning is important. So any final words before we conclude, Daniel?
Just a big, again, thank you for taking the time to set this up, and I really appreciate it. I think that my biggest disappointment is that we didn't get to hear more from you today. It was a lot of me talking, but I think that's how an interview works. I'm not supposed to be interviewing you, but
actually no, what questions do you have for me? Because we have a few more minutes. What burning question do you have that I can answer within
I want to hear your take on the integration of work and life, because that's something that I think I see all the things that you're doing, you know, and I'm just like, man, does this guy, like, how does he keep that organized? You have a podcast, you're teaching this summer, correct?
Yes.
In pharmacy school. So you have, are you still writing currently or working on your
book? Am I still writing? What did you say?
You working still, like, adjusting the textbook? Are you starting a new edition?
You bring up some really nice points. So the textbook was recently integrated at Howard University Library, so it's now a book in the library system.
Really?
Yeah, God's good. Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. Praise the Lord. That's sweet.
Yeah, praise the Lord indeed. And then also managing this, one thing my parents really emphasized for me early on was time management. They gave me a book on it, and I read that book at least two or three times. So I learned, and I also have good mentors as well. I'll just list them. My parents, of course, and then Dr. Langer, a professor from MIT, Chancellor May, professor, a administrator from UC Davis, and also Dean Raheem Bader, who's Dean of the College of Engineering at Georgia Tech. Those are people who, and I'm also going to work on expanding my mentorship circle as well. No, you have to be strategic. So thankfully I've learned, and I'm learning how to be strategic with my interactions with people. Then also, you have to hold yourself accountable. That's one thing I know you do very well. You have people in your life who hold you accountable, and I have the same in my life too. Even in the pharmacy, where I also work at CVS as a pharmacist intern as well, part-time, to right under the pharmacist. And the thing I like about those people and the people who I work with, they give you enough mentorship so that you learn, but not too, they don't micromanage you, so that you're able to like grow and like make some decisions yourself. You know, initially when I entered the pharmacy, you know, you are so cautious and careful, but you won't be overly cautious that you don't learn, you know? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that it's an interesting thing. For me, some days, like it's summertime now, so pharmacy school is finished until I have to do my community pharmacy rotation, but pharmacy school is done for the year. So like, dude, this is like prime time for me, dude. I'm just like, I'm going to write. I'm going to have some fun. I'm going to hang out with people some more. It's just like, I get to transition to a different type of work. And the thing is, I find meaning in my work.
Yes.
So, and I enjoy my work. It's not something that tires me out. It invigorates me in a way. Yeah. It invigorates me. And doing how I'm teaching, you know, I'm going to town creating materials for the students.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to town. Oh, yeah, dude. Just me. I already have something in the works. Graphic novel for the students I'm teaching. So,
that's sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet, bro.
My sister's a graphic designer, so if you ever need a help on that side.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry. All right, because we recently got, that's good. We recently got, we were recognized as a partner with an initiative from the White House. The White House has the Office of Science and Technology, AAS, and another foundation. They have a STEM Opportunity Alliance, and we recently were recognized. Nice. The podcasting group was recently recognized as a partner with them. So, you know, Things are going well. God is good. I sum it up like that.
You've been planting a lot of seeds, and you've been very faithful. And like you said, your time management is something that I always appreciated. And you were very dedicated to that. That really always stood out. Because there's not as many, you know, there was very few people in that chemistry building on the weekends like we were some of the time. We were both really in there trying to make sure that we set up ourselves well for the future. So I can definitely see where that's starting to reap a reward for you, and that you practice that muscle and strengthen that muscle for so long. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I would tell people too, is you have to start small, you have to practice those things. And there's one thing that I thought that you said, the difference, but it's kind of funny because this will give a little window into who I am. We were watching the movie WALL-E last night, which is a very philosophical movie.
Thanks for listening to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. We are so glad that you were able to tune in today. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest, and I take care and all the best.